To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Tuesday night here on KMOX, Rush Hour Sports. Matt Pauly and Kevin Wheeler with you here. This is feeling very hot stovey again today, Matt.
It is. That's all right.
We're at that time of year, though. Yeah. We're finally getting some movement. The winter meetings, you're heading out on Saturday, so they begin on Sunday, and they go to on Wednesday Tuesday?
I guess the Rule 5 draft is on Wednesday.
So that wraps it up, though. Yeah. I mean, like, and a lot of people are just heading out immediately after the Rule 5 draft is over.
Yep.
So we're getting into the meat of things. We're starting to see some movement. A few more rumors here and there on various players, trade rumors, free agency. So we're starting to get some movement, which, thank God.
Yes.
It's and we know it's going to be slow. I know it's going to be like this until about now. But I'm just happy when it starts to get moving, because we can start to, like we did with the Sonny Gray trade, start to see the vision that Heim Bloom and the new front office has play out in front of us.
And we're starting to see some markets move a little bit. Like, from a reliever standpoint, Ryan Helsley and Devin Williams come off the board. So
sure,
when different position groups, we start to see guys move, that's going to push everything up, because all of a sudden teams are going to feel the urgency. And I hope there's a lot of that going on.
I would think so. And I, you know, the more guys come off the books, the more teams have to move, right?
Yeah.
So if you're seeing closers starting to go, which they are, and who knows when Edwin Diaz, you know, he's probably one that kind of really does still dictate this market. Like, he's not going to have to be like, well, I'll take this deal. He's still the number one guy out there. But like, once that starts to go, people have to move. And then when those guys are gone, that's when those guys start getting traded for. And the same thing will happen with the starting pitching market. It's not a deep free agent pitching market, which I think helped the Cardinals in the Sonny Gray trade.
Right.
And a lot of the other pitchers are going to come with more risk than you're going to get with 1 year of Sonny Gray. And from Boston's perspective, 1 year at about $20 million cost is totally fine.
Yeah. And the Cardinals paying $20 million, but also saving $15 to $20 at the same time is also totally
fine.
And
that's the thing that always confused me. I know we touched on this briefly last night when it was the two of us with Bernie. But that was the thing that kind of confused me about the Cardinals' ownership in the past, was their lack of willingness to eat money, take on money. You know, it's already spent.
Yeah.
You're either going to spend it to have somebody here that's not helping you, or you can spend some of it and recoup some of it to get talent in return. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays with the Arenado thing, because, again, I think none of us expect a return on Arenado.
No,
it's more of how much can you save of what he's owed.
Right. Because you're going to spend that money, as you said.
Right.
So can we get out from under some of this, maybe get a low-level prospect that has an outside chance of turning into something, and give Arenado an opportunity to go somewhere where he's going to be comfortable?
So this is a brief summary, but based on reports both locally and outside of St. Louis, so the national baseball people, a lot of interest in Brendan Donovan. Interest in Nuke Barr still, even with the injury. Interest in Nolan Gorman, interest in Wilson Contreras, and Katie Wu had the story today that says that Wilson is essentially more interested than he has been in the past in waiving his no-trade clause. I think Wilson gets a lot of attention as the first base market plays out. Like, if people are in on Pete Alonso and they lose out, or they're in on another right-handed bat and they lose out, there aren't that many quality right-handed bats out there. And at his price, which is total counting a buyout, $40 million for the next 2 years.
It's good value.
And it is. And if you were to pay some of that down, you probably don't have to.
No.
But if you did, and that's now, hey, we'll take care of that $5 million buyout. You just got the contract. That's $18 million a year for 2 years for a guy that's a 2.5-3 win player. That's
and
pretty good.
You're probably getting a pretty solid return coming back on that.
I would think you're going to get at least what you got for Sonny. Probably more. I know pitching always has a value. And Wilson isn't to first baseman. Although I'll tell you, if you go look at Wilson and his numbers compared to first baseman this past season, I'll bet you he's top 7 or 8.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a year where I thought he gave... I was actually disappointed by Contreras' numbers a little bit this year.
I agree, yeah.
I thought it was going to be better. But no, he... You know, there's these hot take people out there that say the Cardinals ruined Contreras' value when they moved him out from behind the plate. They didn't.
No.
They did not. At worst, the value stayed the same. But in some ways, the value increases because you're likely to be able to count on him for more games.
Well, this is the thing. Okay, so... A bad defensive catcher, and let's be fair, let's be nice and say below average, because he wasn't terrible. He wasn't as bad as Ivan Herrera.
Right.
Because he could really throw. He can really throw. He's just not as great at the game calling and framing and things like that, which is a big deal. That's the bulk of what you are as a catcher. Taking that, though, from a minus at catcher and making it a plus at first base with a right-handed bat is a big difference. And if you look at just weighted runs created this year amongst first basemen, and I gotta look at the guys that that qualified for the batting title. When you look at those kinds of numbers, he's gonna be top 10.
Yeah.
I mean, when it's not that complicated, it really isn't. I guess it's probably people think about first base differently than what it really is. They think about the past as opposed to what first base is right now. So if you look at, you know, the way that this plays out, you're looking at a guy offensively probably top 10 or 12 first baseman in the league last year.
Oh, with
the scarcity of right-handed bats, that boosts the value too.
12th is the absolute lowest you would rank him. And look, if you're a top 12 first baseman, then you're kind of you're middle of the road when you get to the 12th spot. But there's a lot of value. He is a guy who last year had close to an 800 OPS and appeared in 135 games. That is a valuable player.
Yeah, if you take all of the first basemen who had at least 400 at-bats last year, 400 plate appearances, he was 7th in weighted runs created, which is a catch-all for total offensive production. 7th. So it's Nick Kurtz, Michael Bush, Pete Alonso, Freddie Freeman, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Wilson, Matt Olson, and then Wilson Contreras. He was slightly ahead of Vinny Pasquantino. And like, so this is the point. That's a top 10. He was better than Bryce Harper last year. Better than Josh Naylor, who just got a 5-year contract. So I think that's the context. You have to look at it relative to what the league is now and not what it used to, what you think of 20, 30 years ago in terms of that position.
Right.
So if you're looking at a top 10 producer at that position, who's also a quality defender and a right-handed bat at a short-term commitment, that's a valuable asset. And that's why I say I think it might be more valuable than Sonny was.
And if I'm Wilson Contreras, I appreciated what he said at the end of the season, that when he said, I still have a lot more to accomplish here.
Yeah.
But then you look around and you see what's going on, and you see that Sonny Gray just got moved, and you see that half the team has been rumored to get moved. And at some point, you probably say to yourself, okay, does it make more sense for me to be part of that group as well?
So Eric's jumping in here on the stream. And guys, feel free, by the way, we're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. You can feel free to throw in questions, comments, whatever. When we're talking hot stove, it's always there. Eric says, I hope Contreras stays. And then followed that up with Cardinals fans have to come out and watch somebody play, which is true. I don't disagree. And then he said, we need somebody to watch. I would keep Contreras. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to keep Contreras, because as we're going to talk about here, there is a downside to moving Contreras too. So what we're doing here is just presenting him as what the rest of the league sees in that player, which is a top 10 offensive producer at his position this year, a right-handed bat, which is not that easy to find in this free agent marketplace, at any close to $18 million a year. These guys you're going to be looking at, like Pete Alonso, is going to be 30, 35 a year. And he's more home runs, but Wilson is not that far off of him in total offensive production because Wilson hits for a better average. He's right. Going to have more singles, more doubles. He's going to hit, you know, there's a balance. Pete's going to hit 40 homers, you know, and Wilson's going to hit 20 or 25. But Pete's also going to strike out a lot more, and he's not going to hit for the batting average. So, like, this is a fair point that Eric makes, though. There's a downside. The downside is I like Wilson Contreras. I'd like him to be here. If you trade him, you have an even bigger deficiency on the right-handed side of your lineup because at that point, the only two right-handed hitters of note, assuming Arenado is traded in your lineup, are going to be Ivan Herrera and Jordan Walker, and we don't know that Jordan Walker is actually of note at this point.
Yeah, I'm in a bad spot here because every day that goes by, I worry less about what it's going to look like for this upcoming season and more about what moves can get this team closer to being a World Series contender.
I tend to agree with that, except that I don't think the team wants to be a 65-win team.
I don't think they do either.
But I think they want to look more like last year did because they still, even though the front office has changed, I don't think ownership wants to abandon the possibility of being entertaining enough to sell some tickets.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. I just, at the same time, I think if you move on from a Wilson Contreras, you put Burleson over at first base, and you can go find a more than serviceable guy in the outfield. I'm not saying you're going to get somebody that's going to bring in the production, but this isn't me pushing a narrative that you're going to move on from Wilson Contreras and then you're going to bring up a 4A player to just hold a spot for the year. I still think there's an opportunity to have quality major leaguers, just ones that might not be as good as Contreras.
We're going to talk a bit more about how that can play out. We're doing nothing but hot stove today, and you guys feel free to chime in on the chat. We're going to be here through, 6 o'clock. Oh, you're going to be here till 8 o'clock. Sports of Blind is coming up after this. And right now, you're listening to Redbird Rush Hour here on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
All right, Rush Hour Sports on KMOX. Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler with you here doing Hot Stove today. And we've got a couple things that are tying into this. We were just talking about the KD report that Wilson Contreras is more willing than he's been in the past to consider waiving his no trade.
Yeah.
So, again, keep in mind, that depends on where he'd like to go, right? I'm sure he has a group of teams that he would prefer not to go to. And from the Cardinals' view, to be clear, you know, we listed all the guys that are getting trade interest. And it's a lot, right? I mean, they're trying to move Arenado. Gorman's name has come up, Donovan's come up, Newt's come up, Contreras come up. They're not moving them all. So to like Enrico's points, Enrico Palazzo said, at what point, you know, he said, who do the Cardinals need to keep before it can rightly be labeled as a fire sale, right? In other words, how many guys are going to go before you call it that? Well, you'd have to move all those guys, I think, or at least more than two of them. And I'm not even counting Arenado in that. I don't think, you know, we were talking about during the break. His is such an, like, clear situation that you need to move on, not because you hate him, but because of your team situation and his age.
Yeah, again, maybe I'm not using the correct words to explain this, but I have a hard time thinking that if you want to call it a fire sale because all these guys are available and the moment you get an offer that you like for any of them, you're going to do it. But at the same time, and I think Chaim Bloom has somewhat addressed this, that he's talked about there's going to be additions to the roster. So I think the idea here
is
you trade guys, you get the best possible return, especially on how it's going to impact you in the future, but then it's not that you don't replace them with other players, you still go get legitimate big league dudes. So I guess I differentiate fire sale, and maybe a lot of people are not going to agree with this. I differentiate a fire sale from what the Cardinals are doing in the sense that if it's a fire sale, like the Marlins have had fire sales, they get rid of everything and then they go out and they field a minor league team at the major league level and spend absolutely zero money. I think that's different from taking players who have an opportunity to bring you a nice return, trading those guys, and then backfilling with other major league players so you will still have a respectable team.
Yeah, it all depends on how it goes.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. If they do trade all of those guys and they don't do what you're talking about, well, that's a fire sale.
Yes.
And we'll call it that.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
We just don't expect that.
Right.
Yeah. And if it gets to that point, because you can't hide from it at that point. Once that's done and you don't go sign up, you know, even if it's just a solid, like a Rhys Hoskins, you know, like that kind of free agent, a 1 year.
Exactly.
If you didn't do that to help fill in after trading all of those guys, doesn't have to be him, just that kind of guy. You know, 30-something, looking at a one-year deal, whatever. Then it would be a fire sale. And I think that would be a fair way to characterize it. I don't expect that. I think even in this scenario where they're rebuilding, the ownership has always valued trying to get people in the ballpark. And they know that they're not going to go for a 65-win team. So I would assume that internally they're trying to get to at least about where they were last year, which is not good enough. None of us want that to be the standard, but it's different if you're doing that while also adding up assets that can take you to the level you need to get to.
But people didn't show up for a 78-win team, and people aren't going to show up for an 82-win team. Like that's
But they do to a degree. They'll show up less for a 65-win team.
How much less?
500,000 people? That's a lot.
I am not convinced this. Somebody's going to bring this back and throw it in my face at some point. I am not convinced that attendance can drop much more than what it was at this past year.
Boy, that sounds like a dare.
I thought twice before allowing those words to come out of my mouth.
Even this year, they still drew 2.2 million.
Yeah, I'm not.
I could see it where it's more like 1.7, which is where it was in the mid 90s before they got good again. I can see that. Now, again, I don't necessarily think it's automatic, but as soon as you're looking at, look, and because then you combine the psychology, right? The psychology of everybody seeing what had already happened. They're seeing these guys, and we're talking about if they were to go the fire sale, right? If you're trading Donovan and Wilson and Newt and all that, then you could see people's psychology going, all right, well, you're going to be worse than last year. You got to show me. And then if you show them that you're not at least what you were last year, why would it be crazy to think that, you know, and again, think about 500,000 people spread out over 81 dates. How many is that per game?
I'd have to bring up the calculator.
Yeah, it's just a few thousand per game.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're talking about, you know, figuring this out and going, at 6,000 fans a game, you don't think you could lose 6,000 fans a game on average?
I actually don't think you can.
Oh. Because you lost that much from 24 to 25.
Yeah, and like, at some point something gets bottomed out.
And let's keep in mind, that's what we saw sold.
Right.
We know that many people didn't come through.
And again, I'm not saying, I think that there's a legitimate chance that attendance does fall a little bit more, but no, I don't think it's going to be a 500,000 drop next year. Nick says, I bet opening day doesn't sell out. Nick, I'll take that bet with you.
I would take that bet, too. I think it will.
Yeah, I absolutely would take
that
bet.
It may not day two.
Right.
Day two might be tiny. But I do think that just because of the – so many people have – it's a field trip, right? It's you know, you plan it for a year out. You come out there from out of town. It's basically a holiday. I still think that. But
can I say one more thing on Nick, too? Because Nick followed that up with – it was a last-minute thing that they sold out opening day this year.
Yeah.
The last two or three years, they've paced exactly the same on opening day.
For the number of tickets sold at a given date. Yes.
Yeah, so they have the pacing for the single. Now, other days, not that. But when it comes specifically to opening day, the pacing last year was exactly the same on the pacing the year before.
All right. So let's continue on. We're going to talk a little bit more about guys that, as right-handed bats, could make some sense to help you backfill a little bit if you were to trade Contreras. Because I think we've walked through it. I don't think you need to worry about lefties. You got plenty of guys that can do that. JJ's going to be here. He's going to help you in that regard. They've got some of that. And they will have some more of the others, like Joshua Baez and others, but probably not opening day. So we'll kick you that around and take more of your thoughts on what's going on this offseason. Next up here on KMO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bucks. All right, Rush Hour Sports on KMOX. Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler with you here. A lot of hot stove for you today. If you guys want to chime in, you're welcome, man. We got the comments open, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And we're kicking this around earlier, again, on the topic of Wilson Contreras. If he were to be moved, I don't know that I would categorize it as likely. Maybe just more likely than we would have thought before.
Right.
Because it sounds like he's more open to the idea of moving than he was before. You certainly would need to bring in a right-handed bat if you lose that bat, because your only real right-handed bat in that scenario would be Herrera. And then guys like Pages, Jordan Walker, who could be a bat, but we have no idea.
Well, he could be a triple A. I don't think anything's guaranteed for
this
Walker.
This is kind of the point. Yeah. So if you were to do that, you would certainly want to look at a right-handed bat. Would you agree with me, Matt Pauly, that if you're looking at a right-handed bat in the event of a Contreras trade, now you could get this get that piece in the trade, possible. Maybe not. Maybe you turn around and you trade something else for it, or you sign it in free agency. But probably makes more sense for that to be an outfielder than it would to be a first baseman, because you've got options at first base.
You do. You can put Alec Burleson at first base. You can maybe start running Herrera out there.
Got to find him a position long term.
Yeah. If
you could put Gorman there too if you needed to. Yeah.
You can put Gorman there. So they've got lots of options. I mean, you can put Thomas Ajayi at first base if you really need to.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. We haven't mentioned him in all this. He might be a guy that fits that role where he's going to get a lot more at-bats because he's a right-handed bat.
So let me throw this scenario out of you. I'm not saying I don't think this is going to happen, but there is a legitimate possibility, a legitimate world, where both Nolan Gorman and Nolan Arenado get traded.
Yeah.
If that happens, Thomas Ajayi is likely your third baseman with Weatherholt at second.
Or the other way around, depending on which one they like better defensively at third base.
Right.
You could go either way with that. And again, you probably make that call more based on Weatherholt than Sejacy, right? Like, where you think Weatherholt's long-term fit is.
Right.
If you think long-term he's a second baseman, well, then you put him there.
And I think he is.
Yeah, I think so, too. Most of the people that did scouting evaluations leading into the draft thought that.
But if there's going to another hypothetical, if there's a world where you don't trade Donovan and you do trade Arenado and Gorman, well, Weatherholt at third for a couple, two, three seasons, or even one season.
Not the end of the world.
Not the end of the world.
No, although I might be more likely to just put Donovan there.
I don't know.
I'd have to think about it. I haven't seen enough personally eyes on JJ to have that strong of an opinion on whether or not I'd prefer him at second or third. I've only seen him play a couple games, so I'm just going by what people have written up about him. He's got the athleticism to play short, but probably not the arm. So, you know.
Yeah.
Third base a little different because the throws are shorter from third base.
So many moving parts.
I know, like, and it doesn't even matter, really. I mean, Weatherholt's position is going to be hitter. Yeah. he'll do a fine job no matter where you put him. I think he's got that Donovan quality. Like, if you put him somewhere that's not his best, he's still going to give you some compete at that spot while giving you offense.
And that's, I think, that was one of the startling things for Cardinal fans when watching Gorman play third. And first off, when he first started playing there a lot when Arenado got injured, it was really bad for a little while, but it was really bad because he hadn't played there.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
He eventually kind of settled into what I think
he is. He played 12 games in 2 years.
Yeah. Just not enough.
At third base.
And people were freaking out about it.
Yeah.
He eventually settled into being probably a slightly below average third baseman, which is not the end of the world if you can hit a bunch of home runs. But it was startling for a lot of people because we are so used to seeing Hall of Fame caliber defense over a third with Arenado.
All right, back to the pitching conversation. Just before we hit that little timeout, I'll give Brian a little tip of the cap here on the stream. Noted Cody Ponce to the Blue Jays. Yeah, that broke about 3-4 minutes ago. And he was a former big leaguer, not much time in the big leagues, who went over to Korea, had a couple of really strong years. He's coming back. So kind of the Mikeless plan.
Right.
Right. He got 3 years and $30 million from the Blue Jays. So that would be, to me, that was a guy that could have been interesting to the Cardinals. And even at that number, that's not bad.
No,
he's only 29.
Yeah.
$10 million a year is fine for a guy that had really good success there. He's added velocity since he went over there, which sharpened up all of his breaking stuff, too. The arm speed is going to make your breaking stuff better, too. That would have been a nice fit to me. But, I mean, if I'm Cody Ponce, do I want to sign with the Blue Jays or do I want to sign with the Cardinals?
And I also think the Cardinals are probably going to I think they're going to do a lot of offloading before they start doing the loading back on.
Could be. And they might be better off playing it at the end of the market.
Yeah.
Because there are always pitchers available right before spring training. And they're veterans usually, but, you know, they're always going to be there. And, you know, to kind of continue that part of the conversation, we got a couple of comments along those lines. And we had Eric here who said, I want to see them spend a little bit of for something. Doesn't have to be a big name, but maybe for the pitching staff. Well, Haim has said they're looking for pitching.
Yeah, I think they are going to spend a little bit of money.
I think they're going to spend on a pitcher. It's just not necessarily going to be, it's not going to be Ranger Suarez, right? It's not going to be one of those big boys. But then Garland chimes in with some starters that could be low cost, low number of years. Tyler Molly, Zach Eflin, Patrick Corbin, Nick Martinez, Adrian Hauser, Tyler Anderson. The one of those I like the most is probably Eflin, but I'm concerned about the health from the last couple of years. Are the kinds of pitchers, though. That is the correct category.
So you have Eflin as your top guy. The one that I like the least is Corbin. I want nothing to do with him.
No, I don't either. I know he had a decent year last year. I just don't trust it after what I saw in D.C.
For an extended amount of time. I mean, that was like a 3-year run.
Oh, my God. He was Miles Michaelis for 3 years.
Yes.
And, you know, like if you go look for the last 3 calendar years, even counting this year where Corbin was decent, 2 of the 5 worst pitchers in baseball were Michaelis and Corbin. And Corbin is now 36.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So he is. Okay. He's 36. So here are some of the names that fit into that. Let's play a little bit of yes or no. I know one that you really liked went off the board today.
No, I wanted them to go after Alek Manoah.
I like that idea, too, because that's an upside play. But I think they're probably going to look for some certainty. What they want is innings coverage until their young guys are ready. I don't think they want a guy coming off 2 years of being hurt.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I'm with you. I would have wanted the upside guy and then maybe also another one of those depth guys.
And you got a second year for free with Manoah, too.
That's because he's ARB eligible, right? And that's why he only got $2
million. Yeah.
That's pretty good. So, again, reasonable guys, not guys that, like, you could say Chris Bassett, he's going to want a contender. He's 37. He's not going to want to be on a rebuilding team. He will not be left standing at the end. But I'm interested in a bounce back guy like Walker Buehler, as an example. My understanding is that at the very least, there is some interest from the player's side with Dustin May.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guy. If I'm looking at anybody in the free agent world that I think is the perfect fit for the Cardinals to sign, my choice would be Dustin May, and it's not because he's a big ginger. It's because he's 28, and he throws hard, and he's been a dominant guy in very short stints because he's been hurt. But I like the upside of a guy with that stuff. And he's a guy that at his age could still be a factor when you start to get better.
And he would walk in with the longest major league success track record of anybody on the team. He might walk in as
probably.
My hot take like 2 weeks ago, and I've kind of taken a step back off this, but I'm not convinced the opening day starter is on the roster right
Maybe
now.
Not. Maybe if it is, it's probably Libby.
Yeah.
And then you got him and McGreevy. And, you know, depending on how Leahy does, I think he's probably penciled in, barring a problem in spring training. And you got Fitz, who, again, they would probably want to be there, but he's got to pitch well and he's got to be healthy because he wasn't healthy at the end of last year. But I really like the idea of somebody like Dustin May. Now, keep in mind, I have no idea what other teams are going to go after him. If he gets called by a contender, I'm sure he would prefer that.
Sure.
But you could also, like, that's a guy I'd be comfortable with giving 2 or 3 years. 2 years and an option, something along those lines at that age. But there are a bunch of others that fit this kind of category, right? Foster Griffin is a guy coming back from overseas, similar to Ponce. Probably doesn't have the same buzz as Ponce, but he's a similar guy at age 30. Another one is a lefty, Anthony Kay, used to be a first-round pick for the Mets. Same thing, went over to Korea, maybe Japan, and did the same kind of thing to rebuild himself. Zach Littell's interesting, but I think he's going to be a higher ticket guy for a contender.
Yeah, I think he goes to a contender.
I think he's going to be like a $14, $15 million a year guy, based on what I'm reading. Germán Márquez?
His best is actually pretty good.
I know. He's got like a top 15, 20% fastball, but he pitched at Coors. And I just wonder, getting him out of there, if that changes him at all.
Maybe. It's amazing that Rockies like rotation, how it basically stayed the same for like 4 years.
I know, it's crazy, and they were always hurt too. Yeah. And some of that has to do with the altitude. You know, a guy like Cal Quantrill's not crazy. He was okay for the Marlins last year. He's 31. He's just, again, we're just talking about guys that are not going to change your world, but I would prefer the guys that are maybe coming back from overseas. I would prefer a Dustin May. I actually really like the idea of a Walker Buehler. If he doesn't get a significant interest from a contender, I'd love to give him. He's 31. We know that he's been a front-end starter. That'd be fun.
I agree.
It's just, it doesn't necessarily, we had Garland says Chris Paddock. I mean, again, if you're looking for a guy that can go pitch innings, but he's going to be more in the Fetty Michaelis range. Maybe not as bad, but more in that range. He doesn't strike people out.
No. A lot of these guys are just, to me. And they're going to sign one of those guys, and it's going to be fine, and you understand what the role is going to be.
Yeah.
But I can't sit here on December 2nd.
Would you sign Nestor Cortes?
I don't think I would.
One-year deal?
Maybe a one-year.
Boy, I might. I might. Again, almost any of these guys will fit what we're talking about.
See, that's the thing. All of these guys are, and then they're going to sign one of them, and I'm going to say, okay, well, this is why you did it. It makes sense.
Yeah. Tristan McKenzie? 28 years old?
We're still young, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But again, these may not be the right people, but it's the right category of guy. All right, getting ready to wrap up Rush Hour Sports, but don't go away. You got way more sports coming your way. Sports Open Line from 6 until 8. What do you got tonight, big boy?
Yeah, we got...
I put a little Mike Shannon on you there.
I liked it. That was
solid.
I didn't
say it as cool as he said it, but...
Nobody can say it as cool as he said it.
I gotta be honest with you, though. The first time he said that to me, I was like... Is it spring training? And he's like, hey, listen here. Come here, big boy. I got something for you. And he gave me a little piece of news that was going to be happening later that day.
That's good. Everybody's got a Mike Shannon story. Yeah. I love it. What do we... Well, Amy Marks, of course, is going to be on today to talk a little bit about the Blues.
They suck again.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk with... we've got somebody covers the SEC, talk through the Lane Kiffin situation a little bit. We're going to have a SLU soccer player on. The SLU men's soccer team going... They are on a roll right now. I don't know if people are really paying attention. It's pretty special what they're doing is they've gone into the quarterfinal round of the NCAA tournament. They're going to match up against Akron this weekend. And by the way, SLU men's basketball, they play tonight. They play late. They'll play at 9 o'clock tonight, so it doesn't impact Sports Open Line. But we'll talk some Billikens basketball.
There you go. All right, let's do a little bit more on the hot stove, and then we'll see what the rest of the week brings us. But this is, next week we're going to be hot stove, because you're going to be, where is it?
Orlando.
Orlando. So you're going to be down there? You're going to go to Disney?
Probably not.
You're not going to have time. There'll be too much crap.
I would have liked to have been able to bring my family. That's not happening this year.
No,
so
that's a little tough with all the business that's going to be going on down there. But we just have to, I think what's important right now is we're all kind of in a learning phase with Bloom and how he wants to go about the business and all of that. And while we can talk about these ideas, it was a little easier to forecast what the John Mozeliak Cardinals were going to do because we had 20 years of watching him do it. And he wasn't always the man in charge. It was actually 30 years with the team. But, I mean, he was in charge from 2007 until this year. So we had 17, 18 years of watching him do this to kind of get a pattern. And we don't have that with Bloom. But I think the Sonny Gray one is starting to illuminate. All right, a little different sheriff in town. Hopefully better. We'll give it time. Sounds better, seems better, certainly feels better now because it needed to change from what it was.
Yeah, and I think the fact that he pulled off the trade with Gray shows that...
And quick.
Quickly. Go be comfortable with what you want for a player, and then the moment somebody offers it to you, it's not Shark Tank. Go take the deal and move forward to the next, especially where the Cardinals are trying to offload a good number of players this year. Like, that's got to be the focus. Anything you can do to make yourself better in the future, go do it.
Yeah, I think
that's what he's doing. It's not to interrupt you.
No, you're totally right. I think that's the thing is, but what we will start seeing a little bit more, though, just how aggressive. My guess will be it's going to be aggressive, but it's not going to be the fire sale that we're that some of the guys were worried about tonight. I'm not worried about that. I'm not saying it won't happen. It's just not something that I'm going to lose sleep over at the moment, because I do think they'll keep a few of those guys.
I would think so, but it would not shock me if a lot more guys get moved.
No, and this is the time to do it.
Right.
If you're going to do it, don't stretch it out. Do it.
Do it now.
And again, I'm not saying tear anything. And the other thing is you're not going to tear it all to the ground, because you've got Herrera as a guy you want to see long term. Alec Burleson, I think if they traded him, you'd be getting some kind of ridiculous return that we would not be able to complain about.
I think he's almost Mason Wynn is a non-tradable guy.
Yeah, Mason Wynn's not going anywhere.
I think Alec Burleson is.
I didn't mention him as a
group.
Right-handed guy. I should have.
Okay.
That's an everyday right-handed player that next year could hit in the top three or four. Probably hits first or second, I would think.
If he can stay healthy.
If he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
You got to give him a few more days off.
Is he the leadoff hitter, Kevin?
Could it be this year? Sure. Would I sign up for that in 2026? Sure, because I'm not trying to contend.
Right.
Yeah, let him learn. All good with that.
Okay.
Have a good show, buddy.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Sports Open Line's coming up after the news on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.